Morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4:4-6. If you don't have your Bibles, the scripture is written for you in our worship guide today. If you'll please follow along with a diligent and reverent hearing of God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. There's one thing that we can agree upon. It is this, that 2020 has been anything but a peaceful year. From the coronavirus to the uncertainty of the economy and job market to the riots to the contentious political year, there's been little as felt stable or secure. And it seems that one bad news comes after the next, much like a wave would. As you begin to recover from one, it seems like the next wave hits and pummels us under the water again. And as a nation, even as a world, you can say that we have taken on some water, and we are spitting, and we are sputtering, and we are grasping for breath. And that is on top of what you are dealing with individually and privately in your own life. I can say quite confidently that everyone is dealing with higher levels of stress than any time before. If the normal stress load is at 3, then I would say everyone is at a constant 6, meaning that there is less margins that put us over the top. And as a result, we are constantly on edge. I see it in you. I see it in myself. And if there was ever a passage that was needed for 2020, it is this one. This passage is one of the diamonds. It's one of the golden gems in all of Scripture. Truly, all Scripture is useful and profitable, but not all Scripture is as easily applicable as this one. But this Scripture fits like a glove. It's as familiar as putting on a pair of blue jeans that are worn in and fit perfectly. It is as comforting as a home-cooked meal. If there is ever any solace and comfort in these troubled days, it's in these verses before us this morning. This truth prevails over the doubt and darkness of trouble and anxiety. It provides the remedy for worry. It imparts peace to those that abide by its ways. And unlike the world that longs for peace, that talks and sings about peace, that wants peace on earth, it has no answers for peace. But it only provides greater and greater strife. But these verses before us this morning give answers. And so if you are here this morning and you are anxious, you are worried, you are troubled, then let me tell you that you are in the right place and that you are not alone. And the answers that we find here won't cost you costly counseling sessions. It won't require you to take a prescription drug. It won't have you to contort your body in funny positions or chant or hum or empty your mind or anything like that. It simply has you apply the truth of this word to let it sink down to your very toes. And so let me encourage you before we even begin, before we even look at this verse, if you do not have these verses memorized, then you're missing out. And let me encourage you before your head hits the pillow tonight, begin memorizing and committing this truth to heart. Because I tell you, it will pay dividends untold. And we want to look at this verse in 2 points, the reason for anxious thoughts and then the remedy for anxious thoughts. First, the reason for anxious thoughts. And perhaps as I say that, you might say, the reason, Pastor, I know the reasons. Let me number the ways. I can give you 5 or 10 right now. And each and every one of them preoccupies my mind. It puts a pit in my stomach and it robs sleep from me at night. Worry and anxiety comes as naturally to me as falling off a bike. I don't need the reason for my anxiety. I just need the solution. I need the answer. But the problem is that I don't think we actually know the problem. And because we don't know the problem, then we do not understand the cure. If we don't understand the cause, then we're not ready for the cure. We must diagnose the problem before a solution or remedy or cure can be given. That's why you can't prescribe yourself your own drugs. You can't call up the pharmacy and say, I need this and I need that for these problems that I'm dealing with. That's why it says on the prescription bottle, doesn't it, to be taken only under the care of a physician. Otherwise, more damage could be done than the good that could be accomplished by them. And in the same way, I think we misdiagnose the problem when it comes to worry and anxiety and fear. And the problem is this, I think that we think that the problem is external, when in reality the problem is internal. That the reason for our worry and our anxiety is out there and it's kind of put upon us, when the reality is the problem is in us. It comes forth from our own hearts and our own minds. That we are the cause of our anxiety and our worry. Not somebody else, not something else, but we are the cause. And even as I say that, I know that those are fighting words in a sense, that all the defensive walls go up and all the alarms blare, and that you want to say, no, 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 I was fine before that person or that event or that situation occurred. And it is that which is the problem. They are the problem, or that situation is. And if that wasn't true, then I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't be anxious. And so it's that. It's not me. And I want to say this morning that I don't disagree or dispute with you that people and events are contributing factors. And hypothetically, if that event never happened, then perhaps you would not be feeling as anxious or worried as you are. Yet, the truth is, it's not the event or truly anything external that is the cause, but that we are the cause. We must realize that there is nothing that can dictate worry or anxiety upon us. Why? Because nothing has that power. Not even Satan himself has that power over you. The reality is we do it ourselves. That we self-inflict our own worry and anxiety. That we are the one that opens the door and allows it in. And too often, in fact, we set out the welcome mat for it, and we feed it tea and cookies so that it stays for a while. No one has control over your heart or mind than you and the Lord. And we know that it's not the Lord that gives anxiety and worry. And so the only one that is left is us. Again, I know that may come very countercultural and maybe very different to your thinking. And no doubt there are things in your mind that want to dispute that. We may want to say, well, it's just my personality. It's just my temperament. I'm a worrywart. And I come from a long line of worrywarts. My mother was a worrier, and my grandmother was a worrier, and her mother before that, and in fact, my father too. And that is no doubt very true, that we have bad models at times. But it's we that must break the pattern. Likewise, others might say that I'm physically or genetically disposed. I'm chemically imbalanced, perhaps. My physician has told me so, and I have the prescription to show for it. And again, I do not doubt that is untrue. The result of the fall is that we are biologically broken people. And listen to me clearly, otherwise I will get angry phone calls and emails tomorrow morning, and I don't want that. I'm not saying that you don't need that prescription or those pills, nor am I unsympathetic to it. But what I am saying is that don't think that the ultimate solution comes from a pill or from a drug. Don't say, I don't need Philippians 4:4-6 because I have this red or blue or purple pill. No, pharmaceuticals may play a part, no doubt. They may play a necessary part, no doubt. But if that is true, then these verses are needed even all the more. And here is the roots. Here is the cause. Here is the problem. And I say this with all gentleness and all truthfulness. Worry and anxiety is a sin. It has us to doubt God's goodness and His love and His wisdom and His power and His holiness and His truth. In other words, worry and anxiety has us question God's character and His works of providence. Worry and anxiety demonstrates that we are trusting ourselves and trusting the world more than we are trusting our Heavenly Father. And so we must understand that worry and anxiety is a sin, and we must treat it as such. Otherwise, we will make excuses for it. Otherwise, we will tolerate it in our lives. Instead of treating it as an enemy, we will treat it as a friend, as if it gives something beneficial, rather than it being destructive as it truly is. As I heard one pastor say it, worry does not relieve you of tomorrow's problem. It only robs you of today's strength. And that is absolutely true. Worry and anxiety is a robber. It is an enemy. It is against you. It is not for you. Is that not what Jesus says when He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6:27, and which of you by being anxious can add? Now He goes on to say a little bit more, but just notice that phrase, which of you by being anxious can add? Jesus is clearly saying that anxiety does not add anything. It only takes away. It only detracts. Now He says, it does not add a single hour to one's span of life. And so Jesus is saying anxiety does not add life. It only takes away from your life. Both metaphorically and sometimes, in some cases, in some instances, quite literally. I've heard that in this year, 2020, the number of suicides has gone through the roof. In fact, I heard on one of the podcasts that I listened to just this week that in the military alone, they've seen a 30% increase in suicides, in fatal suicides. And no doubt that is a microcosm of the whole. And that is because, once again, people are dealing with doubt, and they're dealing with depression, and they're dealing with anxiety. which makes them believe the lie that it would be better for them to be gone than to be here. It would be better for them to be dead than to deal with this, to deal with these circumstances, to deal with these problems, because it's too much and it's too overwhelming. And they believe the lie of Satan that death will be a better remedy to them than this life. And I say to you with all pastoral love and care this morning, speaking to a crowd this size and those that are listening to me through this message, no doubt there are those here and that are listening to this that are dealing with these very things. And I say to you, please, please, please reach out. Do not face this alone. Do not go through these things and think that there is no other solution than death. That is the lie from Satan. That is from the pit of hell itself. And if you are with a loved one that is dealing with this, then loved ones, please listen and do not dismiss it. Do not think, oh, well, I know they're going through a tough patch, but I'm sure they will get out of this. No, you may be the person that needs to help them get out of this. We as a church need to surround each other with the arms of love and care, and that's why we need to be vulnerable with one another that express these things where I need help. I need encouragement. I need the Word of God. I need somebody to pray for me. I need the comfort of Scripture because I can't find that comfort myself. That is not a weakness. That is a strength. And where we realize we are weak, that's where we see the grace of God in mighty ways. And so please understand that anxiety is a robber. It attacks. It's a predator. And like you would with any robber, just like you would with your own home, you must build up a defense. You must build up a defense system. And that is exactly what Paul says here in verse 7. When he says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word guard is just like it sounds. Just like a guard would stand guard at a gate that would only allow certain people to come in and other people to stay out. So too, we need the peace of God to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we'll be constantly assaulted or we'll be constantly under attack. And through Christ, we have been given that. Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the armor of God, says that we have been given the helmet of salvation. We've been given the shield of faith to thwart the fiery darts of the evil one. And so it's true, you cannot control the circumstances of your life or what has happened to you or what will happen to you. But we can control what those things do to us in regards to our anxiety, in regards to our fear. And that is why Paul says here in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Notice that. It doesn't say, don't be anxious about most things. Or it's okay to be anxious about some things. Now he says, do not be anxious about anything, which is quite comprehensive. It literally covers everything. And this is not pie in the sky theology. No, this is the blessing that is given to you that are in Christ Jesus. This is the gift that is given to you as a believer. And it's not because Paul didn't have any kind of worries or any kind of troubles. Or nothing to worry about. Remember when he was writing this, he wasn't writing this beachside with a drink in his hand saying, don't worry, be happy, man. No, he is in prison, about ready to be executed. You might say he had every reason to worry. And yet, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, the problem is not without. It is within. And we tolerate anxiety and doubt and fear and worry too much in our hearts. And we don't do battle against it. Or if we do, we try to battle it alone. Or we try to battle it with earthly solutions or earthly remedies or things that may calm our hearts or our minds for a time. Or we look to things that will provide supposedly relief or supposedly happiness or supposedly joy, but we don't look to the Lord. And what this passage is saying is that we can't fight alone, nor do we fight alone. In Christ, we have the proper guards that are given, that guard our hearts and our minds. And so when those anxiety-inducing circumstances take place, we should have those guards that are stationed there that are saying, nope, you can't come in, not this place, not today. You're not having control over my heart or my mind. My heart and my mind are given to Christ Jesus alone. And so you have no place. Literally, at times you can say, get away from me, Satan. For this is not the truth of God, or the truth even of this circumstance. And so what is the remedy for anxious thoughts? Well, since the problem is not external, neither is the solution. The solution shouldn't be simply that you hope that the circumstance would just go away. Because the reality is that we're never not going to have a time where we are without troubles. No, troubles will always be with us. And if you're not experiencing this, no doubt in a time you'll be experiencing something else. And if we don't learn these lessons, then it's just going to continue to pummel us and push us downward. No, troubles will be with us. That's what Jesus said in John 16:33. In this life you will have trouble. But then he goes on to say, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Literally, I have overcome the troubles, all of the troubles that you are facing even this very moment. And so the remedy for us, for anxious thoughts, is peace. Not just any peace, it's the peace of God. We see that peace here. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus says in John chapter 16 as well. When he says, in this life you will have troubles. But he says right before that, but in me you will have peace. Peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is having that saving relationship with him. Peace is knowing that you can go to your Savior at all times and in all hours and in all circumstances and in all places, and that he hears you and he provides this peace through the Holy Spirit as a gift to you as a believer. And so if you are not in Christ this morning, then this peace is not for you. In fact, if you are not in Christ this morning, then I would say to you that you are not worried enough. Because what awaits is far worse than anything that you will experience or be worried about in this life. And so be worried about that and flee to Christ this morning for salvation, and then have the peace of God that is talked about here. But if we are in Christ this morning, then how do we have this peace? Well, we have this peace by employing the means that God has given to us. And Paul gives us here three means by which we are to have peace. And they are the counter to worry and doubt and anxiety. And it begins with this. It begins with rejoicing. Notice what he says there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Once again, it's not just rejoice in the Lord once in a while. Rejoice in the Lord when the skies are sunny and the sun is shining on your face. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in fact, just in case you missed it, he repeats himself. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoicing seems so counterintuitive to worrying and fretting. And it absolutely does, but that is what the scriptures continually say. Not only here, but you think of the very famous passage in James, as James begins his epistle in James chapter 1, verse 2, when he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials." I recently got asked to write an article on that passage in particular, and it was entitled, "How Can We Count It All Joy?" And I have to tell you that it was one of the most difficult articles I have ever written. And it was not just because it was limited to 1,000 words, which was difficult enough to try to express everything that I wanted to express in 1,000 words. It's not because the meaning of the passage was that particularly difficult, or the translation or the theology was not necessarily that hard, but it was difficult because experientially it was hard. I have to confess that what my wife has experienced, that many of you know about, and what I have gone through with her, that there has been many times that I have not rejoiced, that I have not had joy. In fact, there's many times that there was much grief and there was much pain, and if I'm being honest, there was much resentment and wrestling with God. A lot of why questions. And so then I was asked to write this article, and no doubt it was the Lord Himself that was confronting me with that question. How is it, Joel, that you have joy in this circumstance? How is it that anyone would have joy in their trials? And I'm still in that process of discovering that, and no doubt it'll be a lifelong process, and I may not fully know it. In fact, I know I will not fully know it this side of glory, but I do know this, that through it, we have better known Christ. That His pain and His trials and His tears and His sacrifice for our sake. We've come into a better appreciation for the gospel, for the costliness and preciousness of the cross. And through it, we've been made more like Christ. We've been sanctified and we have been refined, and there is many edges that had to be worn off, and many things that we've had to grow in. And oftentimes that growing and that stretching is no doubt painful. And that is not just true of us, that's not just true of our circumstances. No doubt that is experientially true of each and every one of you through the trials and the tribulations that you have gone through. That as difficult as it is, you look back and you go, "I think I understand my Savior a little bit better. And Lord willing, I look a whole lot more like Him as a result of this." Job says in Job 23:10, "When He has tried me, I shall come out as gold." That the dross is burnt off and we come out more pure as a result of that. And as difficult as that has been, and no doubt as difficult as that will be, it is a beautiful process, isn't it? It's the work of the Lord in us. And in that, we rejoice. Because I tell you, the moments that would cause the greatest anxiety and fear are also the moments that you see the greatness of God at work. Is that not true? The moments that you typically have the greatest amount of fear, or fear arises in your heart, the moments when things are completely out of your control, is that not the time when you see the work of God at its greatest? You see the kindness, you see the mercy, you see the power, you see the plan of the Lord at work because you're at His mercy. You finally bow the knee and you submit to Him, and you are reminded that this is beyond me. This is more than I can take. You must take it. And He does. and we see how he works it out perfectly in his time and in such a better manner than we could ever, ever do it. And so in that, we rejoice. And we should rejoice even in the moments, as difficult as that is, as counterintuitive as it is. Why? Because God is at work in us. He's at work in you, and he's at work in your situation. And in that, we can rejoice. And in that, we can see him work through us and in us. Well, Paul goes on. Verse 5, he says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." And I have to admit that I have to take angst with the translators of the ESV here. That word reasonableness, I think, is a very poor translation. It should really read gentleness. Let your gentleness be made known to all. Or perhaps you could say your meekness. William Tyndale, in his first translation of the English Bible, he was the first one to translate the Bible into English in the early 16th century. He translates this word softness. Let your softness be known to everyone. And that really gives the picture, doesn't it? That we are not prickly. We're not hot-headed. We're not panicked. We're not alarmed. But rather, there is a sense of calmness amidst the storm. There's amidst the gentleness and meekness. And Paul tells us why. It's because the Lord is at hand. Why is it that you can be calm? Why is it that you can be gentle? And why is it that you can be meek? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. That the Lord has not abandoned you. That the Lord has not abandoned his throne. That he is never out of control. Nor is his world in chaos or out of his control. Despite what the media will tell you. Despite the red blinking ticker tape that goes across the bottom of your TV. That are always having us to panic and always having us to worry and always having us to think that everything is always out of control and everything is always in a continual turmoil. No, the Lord is always on his throne. The Lord is always near. The Lord is always at hand. And so as a result, we too can, in a sense, be at hand. We, in a sense, don't have to lose ourselves. We don't have to alarm the panic bell. But rather, there can be a sense of calm. There can be a sense of peace. There can be a sense of gentleness to others and for others, even in the midst of this. One of the greatest pictures that I've ever seen of this was one of our elder emeritus who passed away a few years ago. If you've been here for a while, you know who I'm speaking of, who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And I went to see him in the hospital, and I was preparing myself, struggling to find the right words to try to bring some comfort in the light of this devastating news. And I'll never forget walking into that hospital room thinking it's going to be dark and it's going to be gloomy, that everybody's going to be depressed and everybody is going to be crying. And there I found him in his bed, not depressed, not gloomy, but in fact smiling and chewing gum. He was chewing gum with a smile on his face. And I asked him, "How are you doing?" And he told me, "Well, we received some bad news, but it's okay. It's okay. The Lord has given me wonderful years. And if he desires to take me home, then so be it." That's what Paul's talking about. No panic, no alarm, a gentleness, calmness, softness. Let it be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is indeed sovereign, even in this. Well, he goes on then, doesn't he? Not only to talk about joy and gentleness, but also prayer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Rightfully so, joy and rejoicing and gentleness isn't our first instinct. Sometimes it comes very challenging to us, but that's why we go to the Lord in prayer. We're armed with prayer, and we're armed with the Word of God, and we pray back the Scriptures to the Lord. And those are the spiritual weapons that we are able to wield in the midst of these circumstances. And I love how Paul puts it here when he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But in everything, by prayer, fear and doubt and trouble, when those things creep into our hearts, they should be triggers for us to go immediately to the Lord in prayer. They should be a springboard into prayer. It shouldn't be a springboard into fretting. It shouldn't be a springboard into complaining or worrying or being troubled. No, it should immediately have us go into the interests of our Father. And what a blessed entrance we have. What a blessed access that we have to the Lord at all times and in all places. That He hears us, and not only hears us, but that He answers us. That's why it says, let your requests be made known to God. Because God allows requests to be made known to Him. We have access to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, carried by the Holy Spirit. And in that prayer, we are always given what we are needed. We don't always get what we want, but we always get what we need. As the old hymn tells us, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer is a blessing and it is a privilege. And no doubt all of us at times struggle in prayer. None of us pray enough. And that's why I just want to once again tell you, come on Wednesday nights. If you're having a difficult time praying on your own, then come around others that will pray alongside you, and that you can pray with them. A prayer is one of the greatest, most vital works of the church. It truly is the engine that drives the church. And so join in with others, and you'll find it to be a comfort. It'll be a support to you. It'll help you in your anxious thoughts and your anxious times. And it's so simple. You don't even have to pray. All you have to do is just show up and pray along. That prayer and that supplication and that thanksgiving is a remedy for our anxious hearts. And so what happens when you apply all of these things, when you are rejoicing and when there is gentleness and when you go to the Lord in prayer, does it just poof, take all of your problems away? No. Notice it doesn't say anything about your problems or them instantly going away. You know, often your situation doesn't change. But you know what changes? You do. That our situation doesn't change, but we change. We go from worry and anxiety to a place of peace. We are given that blessed fruit of the Holy Spirit. As Paul puts it, we are given the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Meaning that from an external perspective, it doesn't make sense. From outsiders looking in, perhaps even from your own self, you perhaps can't even explain it, why you are at peace, other than that it is a gift of God. It's a peace that is beyond understanding. It surpasses all understanding because it's God at work in you. As I said, peace as a believer, that is a part of your spiritual inheritance. And so don't forfeit it. Don't squander it, but use it beneficially in your own life. We should always be at peace. We should be at peace with God. We should be at peace with others, as Romans tells us, as much as it depends on us. Remember the context of what this verse came out of. It came out of a situation where there was conflict in the life of the church of the Philippians. And so he says that you are to be at peace with one another. and that there are others that are to help restore that peace in the church, we should be at peace with one another. And we should be at peace, again, as much as it depends on us, with the world and with the world situation and all that is taking place even now. And so let me ask you as we finish up and as we go to the table, are you at peace this morning? In the year 2020, do you have peace? With everything that is going on, with everything that will go on, will you claim your peace today? With whatever is taking place in the circumstances of your life, do you have that peace? Jesus tells us in John 14, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world." No, it says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so, dear believer, let us wrestle, let us strive, let us fight for peace. Let us have that peace be stationed as guards in our hearts and our minds. Let us not use the weapons of the world or the weapons of the flesh, but let us use the weapons of divine power, and those weapons are joy and gentleness and prayer. And let us fight the dragon that is fear and doubt and anxiety. And you might just find that it is no dragon at all, but it's a mere illusion. Why? Because as Joshua told the elders at the very end of his life, he gives them this word. He says, "Do not forget this." He says, "One of you will put 1,000 to flight, since it's the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised." The Lord fights for you, and he puts 1,000 enemies to flight when we're wielded with the weapons that are given to us of prayer and the word of joy and gentleness. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The promise of Philippians 4:4-6 is so sweet. It is such a joy in itself. May we use it again and again as the rich promises that God has given to us, because it is given to us just as he promised to you. He is the God who fights for you. He is the God that is at hand. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this truth and the scriptures thereof, Lord, that help us, that we are people that come with much fear and anxiety and doubt, with much trouble. Oh Lord, may we come this morning and may we confess that to you, and may we leave it with you. And may we take instead the gifts that you give to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit that provides the peace. May we be able to rejoice in the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. May we have the gentleness and that calmness even in the midst of whatever is taking place now. And may we be able to literally, spiritually breathe deep once again and be reminded that all is well, that all is good, because you are good, O Lord, and we can trust you.